You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Back on Fantasy Sports Today, Mike Glute and Kevin Walsh here for hour number two. Talking football now. But again, if you want to give us a call, please do. 844-843-6879. Talk about any sport you want. Fantasy questions, regular sports talk, happy to do any and all of that. But we're getting back to the Dez Bryant discussion.
Can I put a bow on the 3,600?
Yes.
Hank Aaron, A-Rod, Willie Mays. And soon to be Albert Pujols.
Yeah, Willie Mays I knew, and Aaron I knew, actually. I wasn't sure. I can't even remember when A-Rod's 3,000th hit happened.
It was a home run.
That's right. His career has just gotten so weird when you look back at it. It's hard to put it in perspective because everybody knows he took PEDs, and there's so many trials and tribulations. So, in any event, so there you go. Pujols will join those three guys. I think it's safe to say that he's in. He was in before this, but the 2,000 RBIs is coming up too. So he's putting up massive numbers, despite what people not really watching him anymore because he's on the left coast. But in any event, here we go. Dez Bryant. So we talked a little bit about it at the open of the show, and he thinks it's personal. You know, he wants to play for an NFC East team is a huge possibility. He thinks it's very personal. Apparently, he closed the door on his way out of the meeting. He's like, I'll see you guys twice this year, intimating that he would be on one of the NFC East teams. Obviously, that will not be the New York Giants, I think it's fair to say. I don't think they want to take on any more of that.
Right.
Could it be the Eagles? Could it be Washington? Washington seems the most likely destination of those teams. But because the Eagles moved around their receiving core already this offseason. They've paid Alshon Jeffrey. They have Nelson Aguilar, who's become a stable part of the offense, and they added Mike Wallace. I don't see that being the destination. Now, Dez could have been just saying that to try and stoke fear in the hearts of the Dallas Cowboys owner and whomever else was in the room. But that being said, Washington is a possible landing spot. They have $17 million left in cap space right now. Dez is not going to get that average that he had previously. I think that's fair to say. He was at an average of about $14 million a year. They saved a fair amount of money. I think they have $4 million in dead money coming from this, but they're going to save about $8 million, which they need. They need some cap space to sign Zach Martin long-term and a bunch of other guys that, you know, they may need some flexibility with. DeMarcus Lawrence is $17 million. Zach Martin is $9 million, and they're looking to get him a long-term deal. So, yeah, there were salary complications. I don't think anybody's surprised about it. But where does he go? What teams have money? The Browns have some money. Colts have money. Niners have money. Titans, Texans, Bears, Jets, Cardinals. Keep going down the list, and Washington's in there as well. I don't think the Vikings or the Jaguars are going to be those teams because they have a little bit more cap space as well. So, you know, possible landing spots. We'll put this up in a poll during the break, but I want to hear some ideas on possible landing spots. And Kev, give me your first thoughts on where he could land.
As people who've listened to us, they know who my team is. I honestly think it might be Philly, and I don't even know if I'd want him there. I really think that if I look at Dez now, just based coming out of that, and maybe it was emotional, right? Maybe he'll step back from it. I really feel like this entire upcoming season him is going to be about getting back at the Dallas Cowboys. And if that is his goal, then he would have to stay in the NFC East, and I don't think the Giants are going to entertain it for a second. And I'm not really sure how much the Redskins will entertain it. The one thing the Eagles have, and I think you would agree, is kind of this player-friendly environment, right? Like, they can kind of handle anything in the locker room. They were one of the teams teams that handled the kneeling situation head on, and they do it really, really well. And I think kind of just, you know, a player who may come with baggage, I think, is something that they can handle. Now, as you mentioned and put perfectly, there isn't really a need for Dez Bryant there. They've got Alshon Jeffrey on the outside. Mike Wallace is going to be...
They also don't have money, Kev. They don't really have money.
So, again, I am not trying to make the case because it's what I want to happen, but I think if Dez Bryant's goal is to get back at Dallas, then whatever the financial situation would need to be, he would go to Philly, because I think the way to do that would be to be able to look back at season's end and say that they took the NFC East crown and he had two big games against Dallas. That's really kind of what I look for in him, because here's the thing. Let's say he ends up in Baltimore, one of the places that's rumored to look at him, and he's not going to play Dallas. Let's say they start to struggle a bit. I think that he could easily flip and quit on the team right away. Furious that Crabtree's getting more reps than him, thinks that Flacco's terrible, and everything completely crumbles. Like, it's kind of scary, but I almost feel like he needs the Dallas motivator linked to him in order for him to have a successful season, to kind of keep him going. And I think you need to be in the division, and that way, every single week, at least the polling position moves within the division to where it does matter.
So I'll make a case for Washington then.
Sure.
Got Alex Smith there, stable quarterback. Maybe it's not Kirk Cousins, whatever. We can have that debate another time. They have $17 million in cap space. Their receiving core is Jamison Crowder and Josh Doctson and tight ends that are hurt all the time. Don't have much of a running game to speak about, regardless of who's running or catching the ball. Samaje Perine or Chris Thompson, who's really good out of the backfield, but you know they're not very good running the ball. Dez can play Dallas twice. He can get far more money from Washington than he get from Philly. And Dan Snyder is in love with these types of signings, in love mm-hmm. with them, much to his detriment and the franchise's detriment. But it doesn't mean he wouldn't do it again. And I think that's a real possibility. I think some of the teams, you mentioned the Ravens. I think the Ravens could take a shot like that. The Ravens are a type of team that this team is teetering on blowing up the entire franchise. And if they miss the playoffs again, I think Harbaugh could get let go and he'll get hired in about 5 minutes. I think Ozzie Newsome is already gone. And Joe Flacco could be on the outs because they'll hire a new coach who'll want his own quarterback. And it could be the type of desperation signing that happens as well. Mm. I think Arizona desperately needs a wide receiver. They don't have that much money. They have currently in cap money. Well, they do, actually. They have more than Washington does, $19 million. But is it going to be spent there with Dez when they don't even really know who the quarterback is? That's like a Sam Bradford, Mike Glennon rookie combo. Mm. I'm sure that the Cardinals are going to draft a quarterback, whether it's the first round or not. And then Buffalo is another team rumored to be in the mix there, too. Their salary cap number is right where Washington's is, $16.5 million. The problem is Dez Bryant is a guy who has had a tough time with injuries, which have impacted the level of separation he can get. When the guy playing opposite you is Kelvin Benjamin, who has the exact same profile, is just a little bigger, then that is going to be a difficult receiving core for A.J. McCarron or whomever ends up being a rookie quarterback there to deal with. Are the Bills going to want to deal with that dynamic of Dez Bryant for a year or even two? You know, the type of deal I see him getting
mm-hmm.
is probably a heavy guarantee, but on a lower number. He's on a 14 mil number now. I'm guessing that number comes down to 8 to 10, but a hefty guarantee, like a two-year $17 million deal or a two-year $20 million deal. I could see that.
Yeah, I mean.
Does that sound high?
It feels high. I don't know how much you can put in Dez. Like, he's clearly not a number one wide receiver anymore. I will say something that really does work in his benefit is the fact that nobody is excited for the upcoming wide receiver class in this year's draft. So I think that is crucial for him because, yeah. I mean, outside of Calvin Ridley, I don't even know if there's a single receiver who teams are, if you could say, I guarantee he's a first rounder. That, so if that's the case, I think that works in Dez's favor. I will say on the Washington point, I do think that something that could help get him in the door there is Josh Norman. They've kind of had a friendly, you know, rivalry in a way, and I could see that if Norman goes to bat, says, let's make the move. As you mentioned there, that's a move that they kind of would be willing to make. I could see that being the case there. I mean, Arizona needs help. Is that the situation you kind of want to throw your quarterback to? I'm not sure. Yeah, Baltimore is going to try a lot. I think they're going to try and throw. Again, I think you knocked it out of the park. They're going to throw as many things out the window, see if it sticks this year, see what happens. And if not, they can blow it up. They're one of the teams I really think that as we get closer to the draft, it's going to be really, really interesting to just see what the reports are, because they came out and they're like, I think people are going to be surprised at what we do. They've been reportedly considering taking quarterback, which would be strange to me, considering as this is Ozzie's last year, for him to be making a decision on a quarterback that he won't be around to even remotely see play, let alone develop. So that to me is an interesting spot. Like Indianapolis, like they could use him. But I don't know how great you feel about it there. It's really, really an interesting situation, because is there a spot where Dez walks into and is like, you know what? Yeah, obviously, Larry Fitz, way better than me, not worried about it. Yes, T.Y. Hilton, yeah, way better than me, not worried about it. Michael Crabtree. Or, I mean, the Redskins just paid Paul Richardson, I think 5 years, $40 million, if I'm not mistaken.
They did.
It's a sizable contract to where, I mean, if you look at it, Doxson's their young guy. They really like Crowder, and they just paid Richardson big bucks. And if Jordan Reed ever plays football, he's like option five there. I mean, the same thing goes for Philly. I don't want it to seem like I don't think that that's the case. He's not better than Alshon.
Chris, by the way, a tweet from Chris Mortensen is mm-hmm. early, but Dez Bryant's goal to play in the NFC East is not being embraced at this moment by Washington, the Giants, or Philly. So,
yeah, I think.
I mean, to throw cold water on it, I'm mm-hmm. not trying to do that necessarily, but we'll put a poll up in a minute to see, you know, what your thoughts are. We'll put up where will Dez end up? An NFC East team, the Cardinals, the Ravens, or the Packers? We could probably pick a whole variety of teams. I don't want to hear right. your opinions on it. But that's kind of where he's at. Green Bay is another possibility as well, because Green Bay, dealing with the loss of Jordy Nelson, they have similar cap numbers to the Bills. The Bills and Packers are back-to-back on cap number, right around $16 million. And the Packers receiving core currently, Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, and then a bunch of guys. You know,
Are you interested at all in the idea of the Patriots? Because this is one of those things normally where everyone's initial reaction is, oh, he's going to go to the Pats and win a Super Bowl. I haven't heard that a lot, I feel like, when it comes to this move.
I mean, they have money. They have $14 million.
Would you say they have a need as well? Because I think I would make that argument.
It wouldn't surprise me in the least if he ends up there. They have a lot of receivers on that roster right now, but clearly many of them are not household names or guys that could get it done. I don't know if Bill has a relationship similar to how mm-hmm. he had a relationship with Chad Johnson. I don't know if he has any kind of relationship with Dez Bryant. He usually does respect how hard guys play, and I don't know what his feelings are on that. But you have Julian Edelman coming back, mm-hmm. Hogan there. They brought in Jordan Matthews. That's a pretty solid receiving core in my estimation. Cordero Patterson comes in on a trade from Oakland, and Patterson will be on the roster because he's going to return kicks. Then they have Malcolm Mitchell, the fourth-round pick from 2016. Philip Dorsett, if they keep a sixth receiver, does he find his way out? They have Matthew Slater, who's a special teams hero
None of those guys
are their sixth receiver.
None of those guys are outside guys, really, right? I mean, Edelman dominates the slot. That's what Jordan Matthews has been pretty much put in as well since he's entered the league. Again, I don't think that this is the Dez Bryant of old. Like, I'm not saying that he's going to go out there and completely dominate. But I do think that there is a need for New England. There's a lot of things that they have not had an impressive offseason. But it can be masked by the fact that there is, and deservedly so, there's full confidence in the Brady plus Belichick combination. But ultimately,
There has to be.
Right, no, and I totally agree with that. But it's not been a banner offseason for the Pats. I mean, that is another team, and we're going to be doing this every single week up until the draft, and even post-draft.
They have five draft picks in the top 95, too.
They are going, and I'm going to bring it up again to Tony when we talk about him at 11:40, but it's... I want to know what this team does, because I would still not be shocked if they went quarterback. I don't know if you saw the ringing endorsement that they gave to Lamar Jackson. There's people who think there's a link there. Brady, I mean, I know it's Instagram, but he gave him, he said that this guy's legit on Instagram, which Lamar Jackson noticed, and he's like, the GOAT has spoken, which I thought was pretty funny. I wouldn't be totally surprised by that, but it's also a scenario where I think right now, if I asked you today, who's coming out of the AFC East to get to the Super Bowl, 90% of people would still take the Patriots, probably.
That's light.
I try to go East, conservative.
You said AFC East.
No, I meant AFC to go to the Super Bowl. AFC East would be 100%, I would think. 99.
Yeah. So just to wrap up the Dez thing, last year, 69 catches, 838 yards, 6 touchdowns. The year before, only 13 games. 50 catches for 796 yards. The year before, only 9 games, 31 catches for 401 yards. The year before, 2014, last time he was real legit. He was 88 catches for 1320 and 16 touchdowns. That's his last 1,000-yard season. He had 3 in a row, nearly 4 when you rope in 2011. So here's another major stat, the reason why they had to release him. The completion percentage from Dak Prescott to Dez Bryant last season was 52%. That was dead last in the league. Dead last. Quarterback to wide receiver combination. 52% completion percentage. That's not getting it done. His catch rate was at 52% the last 2 years, 43% the year before, where it was up to a high of almost 67% 5 years ago. So that's kind of where Dez is. We'll put up a poll, get some thoughts as to where Dez is going to land. And we're going to come back. We're going to have a QB discussion after this, because there's a lot going on, a lot of maneuvers going on in the NFL regarding QB slots and who's being drafted. Talk about that next. Mike Blute and Kevin Walsh at Fantasy Sports Today. We'll be right back.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Back on Fantasy Sports Today. You're fired up, huh?
I mean, Pete's crushing it. It's a little Jay Biebs. Get your morning going, Mike. Mike Bieber.
He's going all pop stars, like teen pop stars.
A little theme, though. I like that.
All right. I can appreciate it. So if you want to reach out to us today, please do so on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Kevin is at The Kevin Walsh. Our guest coming up, Emery Hunt, is at F-Ball Game Plan and at The Tony Cincata in the final hour of the show. Before we get to the next topic, I want to talk to you about Fantasy Factor. It's the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player, flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single-entry contests only. Fantasy Factor always has fun contests going on. This year, Fantasy Factor is running a $100,000 home run derby. Simply sign up and enter www.fantasyfactor.com. So here's the discussion. I've been thinking about this for the last few weeks. We've sort of dipped our toe in this water, but I really want to get a sense of your thoughts on this, because mm-hmm. I think people are frustrated that we're beating the quarterback discussion to death. For these quarterbacks in this draft. And I get that. And I think it's fair to say that we're beating it to death. But there's a reason. And it's because teams are starting to get worried because of either their immediate need or their long-term need at QB. I would put desperation teams in the camp of the Cardinals, of the Bills. The Bills can roll with A.J. McCarron, the Cardinals with Bradford/Glennon for a year. But I don't think either of them wants those guys starting in 2019, which is why, and I put the Jets in that camp too, they don't want McCown or Bridgewater starting in 2019, with the possible small exception that Teddy Bridgewater is perfectly healthy and he can go out there and start slinging it. He actually didn't do that before his injury, but that's another discussion for another day. The Browns, obviously, probably in this camp too. I'm listing them like this because I think they are less desperate. Like if Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback for 2 years, it wouldn't be a disaster. He is their bridge guy, but Tyrod's only under contract for a year, so they're obviously looking for somebody for 2019. Now, people are saying, well, why are these five or six guys going in the first round? They might not even be that good, and that is fair because I'm starting to think that. I'm not in love with any of the guys, although I really like Darnold. I'm not in love with anybody after that. And I know you're a Lamar Jackson guy. Mm. I think he could be really good. 57% completion percentage in college. I'm not in love with that. But his athleticism, all that kind of stuff, could be upside there. We can argue that, and we will continue to argue that, up through draft night. But here's why. Teams may be looking at the six QBs in the first round. And I said Lamar Jackson, Darnold will put Rosen and Rudolph and Allen and Baker Mayfield in that discussion. Those are the six. And why teams are talking up Kyle Auletta and Mike White is because of this reason. And I think oftentimes, Kev, we just assume teams, they don't need a quarterback this year. They're fine. But are they? There's really only a bunch of teams, and I'm going to list them right now, where you can say, you know what? They're good at quarterback. They don't need anybody. And I'm going to do it in alphabetical order. Tampa Bay Bucks. Stop me if you think I'm wrong on one. And I debated that one. But mm-hmm. Tampa Bay Bucks. The Eagles. That's Wentz and Foles. Falcons. Going to re-sign Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. Lions just re-signed Matt Ryan. Niners mm-hmm. signed Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. Packers, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers.
He's pretty good.
Carolina Panthers. Jared Goff. Seahawks with Russell Wilson. Tennessee Titans with Mariota. The Vikings for at least 3 years. And Washington for 3 years. Yep. They're good. They're not panicking. Mm-hmm. But think about how many teams did I list? Do you have any idea? Were you writing them down?
I was not writing them down.
Fine. That is only 12 teams. Mm. That leaves us with 20 teams with an either dire need at quarterback or a potential nebulous situation at the QB position. And some of them we don't always think about. I'm putting one off at the top of the list, and I frankly this probably isn't fair to him. But it's because of my belief in him going into the draft. But the Bears don't really know what they have in Mitch Trubisky yet. I don't think they're drafting a QB right now, so I could probably add them and make them 13. But from the top of the list, I'm not a believer in Mitch Trubisky, and if he plays like crap this year, what do the Bears do? Next draft. They're like, oh, man, Nagy couldn't figure this guy out. Now we got to draft a QB again. And the GM's fired and all that kind of stuff too. So you're going to have more problems in Chicago. Because they put together a mishmash of free agency this year, and it better work. That GM's butt is on the line. He spent a lot of money to get a lot of different players, and Trey Burton and Allen Robinson and all that kind of stuff, and it better work with this QB, or that GM is in trouble. The coach may not be immediately, but the GM will be. Next guy, Andy Dalton. You would say if Andy Dalton doesn't play that well this year, Marvin Lewis, despite this odd 2-year extension, will be in trouble in having to build this team long term, correct?
Yeah, I think that I'm surprised that Andy Dalton's even coming into this year with complete job security. I will tell you this, we'll go through this whole thing. I think we're going to end up being drastically on the opposite side of the spectrum when it comes to this.
Okay, so that's good. You can give me a comment on each guy because there's a lot of players to go through, obviously.
If we can, then I'll go back to Trubisky quickly and say, I don't think there's any chance that they would. This is kind of how I kind of look at it. Would X team draft a quarterback in round one in the 2019 NFL draft? I think for the Bears, without doubt, the answer would be no. I think that they put draft.
Well, let me clarify.
Sure.
This isn't a first round discussion necessarily. And you can. I'm fine for you to clarify that, and me too. Mm-hmm. This isn't a first round discussion necessarily, but second or third round to put a little bug in somebody's ear, like the Giants did with Davis Webb last year. I think these are all fair discussions. The Bears won't draft a QB this year. That I know.
Right.
Trubisky should probably be on this list. I'll probably make that 13. So it's probably my personal feelings about Trubisky with only his 13 games started, and they threw him out there last year, and he was a mess, and I'm just not in love with him. So mm-hmm. I'll even take Trubisky off the list, so that's fair. But Dalton,
Yeah,
there you go.
We strongly agree on Dalton.
The Bills, they have McCarron. We know they're going to draft a QB. They've already made moves to try to do that. The Broncos, Case Keenum. That is a short-term security, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, because I have a somewhat similar of a list that I've made, similar to what you've done, but kind of like the inverse. And the Broncos, I think, absolutely are in play to take quarterback. However, it could be this year.
You think it's first round this year?
I think they could. It depends how the board moves. But if
I agree.
I think the one thing that has switched with me in terms of the Broncos is I thought there was a slight chance that they would be interested in moving up to two or even a swap with the Browns at four to secure a guy. I think they are dead set on sitting at five. If a guy they like is there, they'll take him. And if not, I think they're very willing to move back, actually.
I think that's all possible. The Broncos are the toughest team at this point to predict what they're going to do, because I think they could do all the above. I think it's less likely that they move up, but I wouldn't rule it out, because if the Giants want to get out and the Broncos want to get in because they're in love with quarterback X, then maybe they do it. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, whoever, Josh Rosen, whatever. Browns, we know they're drafting a QB.
Right.
Doesn't matter if it's Allen or Darnold, they're drafting a QB. So no job security there. The Bucs, Jameis Winston, I'm putting him on the safe list. They're not drafting a QB. The Cardinals, definitely drafting a QB, whether they stay at 15 or move up or it's the second round, they're absolutely drafting a QB. They have to. They literally don't have enough on the roster to work with unless they do a Kaepernick or another street free agent, which I don't even know why I said Kaepernick. I think it's pretty obvious the teams don't want to sign him after he doubled down on his stance to kneel during the anthem. Chargers, Phil Rivers. So here's the odd part.
Right.
Ben's talking about retirement.
Mm-hmm.
People are pushing Eli out the door.
Yep.
And nobody ever talks about Phil Rivers. I think it's because he played for San Diego forever and L.A., and he's thrown 50 interceptions in two seasons, not this past year, but all kinds of turnovers. He's the same age as those guys.
Yeah.
Nobody ever really talks about it. Nobody talks about it.
I think that the Chargers absolutely could take quarterback this year. I'd like to circle back just to the Cardinals, and I know that they don't have, and maybe this is probably where we differ, right? Because you're looking at this more first three rounds, could they take quarterback? I'm just in a more an exact way, in the 2019 draft, could X team be willing to take quarterback? And I actually think the Cardinals could really do themselves a lot of favors if they didn't take a quarterback in the first round this year. If you want to take a shot, second, third, that's fine. Because I actually think the number of teams that could be even considering drafting quarterback next year is really small. I think in round one, I think there is a very, very small list of teams that could actually consider taking quarterback next year, round one.
But this is my point of this exercise.
Right.
You're thinking that I'm saying these teams have to draft a QB now. What I'm trying to illustrate is that these teams, whether they do it this year or not, and maybe I haven't done a good job of that, whether they do it this year or not in the first round, second round, third round, these teams do need to address it by next year.
Right.
If not this year, then by next year. So I actually think I disagree with you. I think a lot of teams could be looking at quarterbacks next year for all the reasons that I'm going through right now. Phil Rivers is old, and let me keep going. The Chiefs, they're committed to Pat Mahomes, but they really don't know what they have yet. The Colts, Andrew Luck, there's a health issue there. Dak Prescott, what if Dak Prescott played badly again this year? He's only a third-round pick. What if he played badly, and it wasn't Dez's fault? And this team starts to – passing attack is terrible because Dak wasn't as good as his rookie year when Zeke Elliott was running for a million yards. Now, I think Zeke Elliott's going to run for a million yards again, so it's going to take the heat off of Dak. But that's a possibility. Let me keep going through it because, you know, we're going to run out of time. Tannehill, they're talking about drafting it this year. They definitely need to draft one either this year or first round next year. The Giants – I think we know what's up there. Davis Webb, is he the heir apparent? Or these guys didn't draft him. Dave Gettleman and Shermer didn't draft him, so they don't care about Davis Webb, and they don't like him. The Jags, there's rumors about Lamar Jackson going to the Jags and tons of mock drafts I've seen this year.
Absolutely.
But they have to address it long term. The Jets obviously are addressing it probably, I mean, almost locked in that they're addressing it this year. Keep going. Tom Brady. The discussion keeps coming up. It doesn't matter that he's playing great. He's on notice. The Raiders. This is an interesting one. What if Derek Carr has like a bad year this year?
I don't think it matters. He makes too much money. He's too young for them to be able to move on from Derek Carr at the end of the season.
Okay, so that's a good one. So I'm going to take that out. After they paid him, I don't necessarily mean. So you have. I don't want you to be so absolute about it. I'm saying these teams' quarterback picture 2 years from now. What if Carr threw up a couple of bad years? They would move on from him, right?
If he were,
Derek Carr isn't the type of talent that I am locked in. Tony will agree with me on this. Locked in, Derek Carr. He's the man. He deserved $25 million. The Raiders just did it because so they could lock a guy in, and sometimes it happens like that.
I think part of the reason probably why it may sound like we are kind of on opposing sides of this is we did approach it with different prisms where there are teams that you're talking about that kind of add to this list because teams like the Jets or the Browns, who obviously right now don't fit the bill, I think after April 26th, then would fit the bill as a team that has addressed this need. So where if the next 2 years, Derek Carr's bad, he doesn't even have to be, if he's just bad, like he was this past season, I absolutely agree with you that they would be able to move on. The contract gives them a position to do so, and I don't think that Derek Carr is this revolutionary talent that you absolutely need to be beholden to over the course of entire contract. So that I will agree with.
Greater point. You've probably swayed me on two guys. Because they gave the money to Carr, even though there's ways for them to opt out of that and not cost them, you know, millions upon millions, Carr and Trubisky, I probably swayed back.
Can I sway you? Can I attempt to sway you on more?
Yeah. Let me keep going through it because I'm almost at the end. The Ravens, Flacco.
Absolutely.
They're not going to give Flacco that money again.
Totally agree. They're dying for him to leave.
The Saints.
Strong agree.
That's an age thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an age thing. Same with the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans, I think they really like Watson and they're committed, but that's a health thing. I don't know how he'll look
that's
after
fair.
A second ACL. But I'm not pushing him out the door at all. I think Mariota and Jameis are safe, but if Mariota regressed again, would they be like, oh, it wasn't the coach. Maybe he's just not. I actually like him. He won a playoff game last year.
Yeah.
I think he'll be fine. I didn't put them on the list, Jameis and Mariota. Mm-hmm. So the two that you've swayed me on are Carr and Trubisky because I think the dynamic of where the money they've been given and where they're picked, they're safe for now, even if they weren't so good the next year or two. But if Carr was bad the next 2 years, they'd have to consider replacing him.
I'd agree.
By the way, if Trubisky was bad the next 2 years, they would replace him.
Right. No, 2 years, again, so that is one of the things here, is I looked at it more so in a very exact 1 year, 2019 first round, could this team go quarterback? The Watson one, you actually even opened my eyes up to more, because you actually, I don't know why I look past it, but the man has not only had an ACL tear from now, but he also had one back when he was at Clemson. So, there's no guarantee, and you don't ever want to wish that upon anyone, but I mean, we've seen what happened to Derrick Rose. Like, this isn't, just because, you know, technology is advanced and medical as advanced, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden ACL tears mean nothing. Let me see if I can do this in easiness of, I think, to get you to back off. Dak makes, and again, it might be the 2 year thing, but Dak doesn't even make $1 million, not this coming season, the following season. So I don't think there's a world where they would be able to move off Dak Prescott before that contract would end.
Fair. You got me. I'm Prescott. I'll concede Prescott for the purposes of this discussion.
Pat Mahomes, I think that there is going to be a leash there. Now, if he were extraordinarily horrible this year, I still think that they'd give him a shot in 2019. But again, under your context of a 2 year window, I could not guarantee you that in 2020, Pat Mahomes is the chief starter. So again, that's kind of where.
We're running tight on time, but since we clarified it in the 1 year window, you swayed a few guys over to me.
Sure.
I still have 16 teams that within the next 13 months need to address their long-term quarterback situation. So to tell teams that they shouldn't draft a QB in the first round this year when they can have an extra year of control of him, conceivably 7 years with a five-year contract and two franchise years, which isn't really financially viable, but in any event, I don't think teams should be beating people up for maybe going after Mason Rudolph at the end of the first because they can have him for an extra year. There's 16 teams right now, some of which their quarterback doesn't have to play well, that need to address their long-term future at quarterback. It's a lot. It's a lot.
I have it. I have 25 names down that at the end of this draft, it might not be different. Maybe we'll do it at 11:40. If not, I'll just text you.
Okay. Sounds good.
Because we got to talk to Emery.
We got Emery. We do. We got Emery Hunt coming up. We're going to talk sleepers in this draft and the QB class of 2019. I don't know who those guys are, so Emery's going to help us out next. We'll be back on FST right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back on this odd array of musical choices by our producer Pete Considori. It's what would you call this? It's like a, it's not a boy band. It's a pop theme today.
Who's the artist, Pete?
No, I know this is Backstreet Boys. But I'm saying, like, what would the theme of the show be?
So I just figured I'd go through all of our musical options and just find the most random stuff that I usually don't play on the show to throw in here.
But it's been a theme. It's been Miley Cyrus and Biebs and Backstreet Boys.
Sweet 16.
Sure. I mean, if you want to call 90, it that.
Yeah, it could be maybe getting a little 98 degrees next. I don't know.
98 degrees.
We're making DJ requests now. This is my favorite.
Nick Lachey. I don't know. I couldn't name it. I couldn't name a 98 degrees song, but I know he was in that group. So in any event, well, thank you, Pete. And Pete's going to come on and talk hockey in about 40 minutes or so. We'll talk a little bit of hoops and we'll talk some hockey to get through. I mean, it's a good time of year. April's a good time of year for sports. You got baseball is full swing and football's got the draft coming up. And then obviously playoffs abound in the other sports. And then I suppose the Kentucky Derby's at the end of this month, if you want to throw something else in the mix. You watch the Derby at all, Kev?
I'll watch. It's short enough to where it's not, you can't really make an argument. Minutes. Like, it's like, oh, I don't have the time for it. I mean, I don't get super amped up.
I didn't ask you to. It's not like you ask people to watch three weeks of the World Cup of soccer.
Exactly.
Like, it's 2 minutes. If you're at your TV at 6 o'clock on the first Saturday of May, you can watch it.
Well, the thing is, like, if you happen to be like, I got to run to the bathroom, you might miss the whole thing. So it's one of those things where you can't necessarily lock it in, I feel, unless you're at the Kentucky
Derby. Like, people have parties, and that's always kind of fun. And when I lived in Manhattan, I would always go to a pub or something like that, and people would go crazy for 2 minutes. They don't know anything about it. It's called the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. I will say this, and you may find this shocking. Of every sports event that I would want to go to, I would rank the Kentucky Derby as number one on my list, even over the Super Bowl. Wow. Those are the top two. But if given the choice, I would probably go with the Super Bowl ticket because it's much more difficult to get versus the Kentucky Derby, which I'm sure I could go online and I know some people that, you know,
so then go.
Can get it for, because it's a whole thing. Like, you getting out to Kentucky and renting a house or a hotel, like, it's expensive. It's a lot to get out there. I got to do it over a whole weekend and all that kind of stuff. You know, I got little kids. I can't just be like, hey, see you guys later.
They'd
I'm
love
going
the horses
with my boys. Like, I should have done that in my 20s or 30s.
You missed your window.
Didn't do that. Yeah, I'm an idiot. I should have done it. I did go to the Preakness once, though. It was frightening, and I'll never do it again. Because I went on the infield for a bachelor party. This is years ago. This was, let me think. This is over 10 years ago, or maybe 10 years ago. It's either 10 or 11 years ago, I want to say. And we went out this is a bachelor party. We went out in D.C. on a Friday night, then woke up the next day, went to the Preakness, went to the infield party, and it's a mess. It was just gross and like a tailgate to the extreme. It was a little too much. But I want to save that story because I got to bring in Emery Hunt and stop talking about my drinking debacle at the Preakness. So in any event, we have Emery Hunt here. He can be found on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. And he is going to help us preview the 2019 QB class. But before we do that, we're going to talk some sleepers about this year. First of all, Emery, thanks for joining me in the mock draft show the other night. Thanks for joining me here today.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. You ever been to the Preakness or the Kentucky Derby or anything like that?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Don't go.
My man,
don't
Emery.
Go to the infield of the Preakness.
He didn't
they
plan
actually
on it.
Had to they had to change the rules the year after we left because people would like bring massive amounts of alcohol onto the infield and not pay for
so
anything.
You guys changed the
and
game.
Like, yeah, not us single-handedly, but we actually left before the race because it got so crazy. We were there for 6-7 hours. The race doesn't happen until 6, so we just left and went back to D.C. and watched it there. Anyway, again, it's a good story when I give you all the details, and I'll do so another time. So, Emery, we've talked about the QB class of 2018, beat it into the ground. We're going to talk about the QB class of 2019 in a minute. I know you were down at Virginia Tech the other day, but we've beaten the first-round players, to a pulp, you and I and Kevin and everybody else. So give me some sleepers. I know Rich Sermonello, a guy that we work with, loves Kalen Ballage at running back as a mid-round pick. Anybody like that for you at any position? The world is your oyster.
Well, for me, I always look at sleepers as guys that no one is talking about or no one has heard of or from programs that no one really covers, you know? So Ballage, to me, is a guy that a lot of people know, and I agree. He's probably in more along the line. It depends on how you want to look at him. Some people, like I said before, some people may look at him as David Johnson. Some people may look at him as Charles Clay, you know, but he has that good variety of skill sets. So I think he's going to be a tremendous player at the pro level. For me, going to what I know best, the running back position, I think one of the guys that no one is talking about that's really good is Larry Rose III out of New Mexico State. I mean, you talk about a player that's prolific as far as what he brings to the table rushing as a returnman, also as a receiver. He can line up in the slot and be a very good slot receiver if you wanted him to be. This guy is 5'11", 195, ran a 4.4 40 at his pro day. And that's the numbers that he needed to get. Like, he needed to hit 195. He needed to hit 4.4. Just to get people to look at his tape, because his tape is phenomenal. His tape suggests that he should be a second-round player. So I think Larry Rose III is going to be one of these guys going to get into a program. He's going to do fine. He's going to be like one of those preseason all-stars. And also Trenton Cannon of Virginia State. The Division II prospect was up for the Black College Player of the Year award given by the Black College Hall of Fame. And when I was down in Virginia last spring, and I was talking with head coach Reggie Barlow, who's the head coach over there at Virginia State. Now, I always ask coaches, like, hey, who are some prospects that you want me to keep an eye on for this upcoming season? First name, before I even finished, was Trent Cannon. And, he was like, keep an eye on him. Now, they had a guy last year that was really good. I had a cup of coffee with the Redskins and Brian Frazier, defensive lineman. But he was like Trent Cannon by far. He's like, he's one of the best running backs I've seen. And so fast forward to, through the season, and this guy was just putting up big play after big play, highlight after highlight. And I think those two running backs are two guys that are about the same size, about 5'11", 5'10", 195, with blazing speed.
Let me ask you, though, because I feel like the running back position, you can kind of always bank on some sleepers. Being there and the way this running back class looks is there's going to be sleepers, but there's a lot of talent at the top of the draft. Where this wide receiver group, and I don't know if you view it the same way as I would say the consensus around it, is that it's really weak. There may be no real first-round grades deserved to any of the guys. I know you're big on Christian Kirk, so that might not be the case for you. I'm curious, though, do you think that maybe some teams could be lucky hitting on some of the late-round wide receivers? Because I think it could be a situation where if only one or two go round one, there could then be some value on wide receivers as you get into, day two, day three.
Absolutely, and I think the reason why you see teams being able to hit on receivers late. And this is the reason why we do what we do here at Football Game Plan. We don't rank them 1 through 20 or 1 through whatever because we know they're going to play different positions. So it doesn't make sense for us to value Christian Kirk the same way we would value, let's say, a Jester Weah of Pittsburgh because they'll play two different positions. So when I look at this class and we break it down from split ends, flankers, slot receivers, and inside receivers, like your bigger slot receivers, there is a lot of depth. And so once you get past the James Washingtons, the Kirks, the Cortland Suttons, and you go deeper within the middle parts of the round, you can find you a guy like Cam Thomas. Just, again, speaking from coming from Virginia Tech, Cam Phillips is one of those players that does a great job, and he can play all three. So I think when you look at what he did this past season at Virginia Tech, leading their team in receiving, he played the entire year with a sports hernia. So now he's fully healthy. He's going to hit the ground running as a pro, and that's a guy you can get maybe in round five that can end up being a significant playmaker. Also, you look at the lower level ranks. I like a big receiver out of Tennessee State and Patrick Smith. Now, he's another one that's been with that program for 4 years, played multiple positions. I think he's probably best suited inside. And Jared Beard, a guy that transferred from Austin Peay down to Division II Kentucky Wesleyan. And we saw a guy from Kentucky Wesleyan pay huge dividends for the Jacksonville Jaguars this past season. I think Beard, and I saw him play live at the Tropical Bowl. I was a broadcaster on that game. He was a big-time player all week long and also in the game had a touchdown reception. And he's another one of those bigger wide receivers, about 6 feet, 215, but that can play inside and be and live and thrive as a slot receiver.
We're with Emory Hunt. You can catch him on Twitter at FBall Game Plan, CEO and founder at Football Game Plan and analyst as well. He's the czar of the playbook. He played college football at University of Louisiana Lafayette. Go Ridge and Cajuns. So we got some sleepers in there, obviously, and we continue to talk about those too. But since we've talked about these 2018, and Kevin and I just had a long discussion about the 2018 quarterback draft class and how many NFL teams, Emory, could be looking for a QB replacement by next year. It seems like it could be about half the league. Certainly half the league within the next 2 years will need to be really addressing the quarterback position due to health issues, age issues, and whatever. So I want to get a sense, because people aren't thrilled about this 2019 class, and it seems like teams might be pushing a slight panic button on the 2018 class, who are some of the top guys? You hear names like Will Grier from West Virginia, the Florida transfer. Who else besides him?
I'm a big fan of Jake Browning. I don't understand why he doesn't get the credit he deserves. I mean, let's say, for instance, just opposed to a Pac-12 quarterback that everybody loves in this year's class, and Josh Rosen, all I do is see Jake Browning have his Washington Huskies in big games, you know, like big bowl games, big games that they have to win, they end up winning. Now, some may say, oh, he has a great defense, he has all these weapons, yada, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, as a quarterback, you have to be able to play well to have your team in those situations, in those big games, in those big moments, and Browning has consistently done that. Now, people may say he's a little bit like Cody Kessler, but at some point, you know, you have to just like the efficiency of a quarterback. I think Browning is one that's being critically underrated. I'm interested to follow the health of DeAndre Francois because I think he would have been one of these early entry guys this year had he not gotten injured. So it'll be interesting to see how he bounced back from the knee injury and how he works within Willie Taggart's offense. Now, the interesting part is that he's going from a pro-style offense what Jimbo Fisher ran to a more of a spread offense and what Willie Taggart runs. So interested to see his progress, but I think he has the toughness that you want at the position. And a small school sleeper, I'm a big fan of Case Cookus out of Northern Arizona. This dude can really sling the ball all around the park. He was a freshman player of the year in the FCS, had a down sophomore season because of an injury, but even not down sophomore season, but he got injured. First four games, 13 touchdowns, one interception. Last year was okay. He did solid. And I think this year as a senior, he's going to go out with a bang as he gets back his number one option in Emmanuel Butler, another pro prospect he's been eyeing on for 2019.
Yeah, one quick follow-up on the Jake Browning thing. I thought it was an interesting comparison because Josh Rosen's team was never really elevated with his play. They lost a lot of games, never really competed for anything. Jake Browning obviously has been in the BCS playoff format. They've won a lot of games under Chris Peterson, and Jake Browning has as well. A two-part question for him in particular. One, do you think he didn't come out because he felt like this was going to be a crowded QB class? And two, if he was in this class, where would you rank him with these guys?
That's two great questions. I think just tackle the first one. I think he stayed because he probably realizes that he has to get better. You know, there's parts of his game where he has to get better. He's not going to be the, even though size is not a skill, they're going to view him as a shorter, not, he doesn't value athletically. So he has to come back and prove, you know, that, hey, I can get bigger, I can get my arms stronger or what have you. And so he has that to prove. And plus he wants to get better in the little nuances of his game. There's questions about whether or not he can win the big game, so to speak. Yes, he gets them to that title game or gets them in that big bowl game, but he has played small in those big games, i.e. Alabama. You look at last year versus Penn State. So those are some questions that he wants to answer. And I think if he was in this draft class, I would say he would probably be right along the lines with Rosen. You know, I think for me, it's about consistency. And this guy has been consistent. He's able to get out the pocket. He's able to get out there and attack the field at all levels. Now, he's inconsistent throwing a deep ball. I get that. But in the short to intermediate passing game and a quick passing game, which is what the NFL is, I think he thrives. And I actually like Cody Kessler coming out of college. I think Browning is more along the lines of that. And, I, you know, just the fact that he has been a guy to have been able to elevate his team, you have to put him along that same tier, maybe slightly above a Josh Rosen.
Emory, I want to ask you a little bit about ideology for the way you can kind of approach these quarterback classes, probably more so than running back, wide receiver, when it comes to year, right? In 2017, there was talk about this year's quarterback class as it was going to be a lot stronger. Look to that. And maybe there were teams who paused on the quarterback in 2017, looking to get their guy this year. Do you think that that could be a reason why maybe we're hearing six quarterbacks round one? Because teams feel like the guys that they're going to want won't be there in 2019? And if so, is that a mistake to assume that a 2019 quarterback class could be weak when we still have a whole another year of college football to be played?
Exactly. I think that's the biggest key. It's terrible to assume that because you just want, to me, then what are you as a scout? Oh, well, there's nobody good next year, so let's just not worry about it. Like, no, find talent. There's always talent in this country. You know, especially in college football, you have, what, 804 football-playing colleges from FBS down to JUCO. Find talent. You know, that's your job. So I think the people miscast the 2017 class. You had a Deshaun Kaiser. You had a Deshaun Watson. You had a Patrick Mahomes. You had you had all these guys that can play. So I don't know why. Well, I kind of have a theory why they said that class didn't have the potential of this class, but that's another story for another day. But I it's way too early to talk about 2019 and say, oh, it's nobody, when there's a whole new season. And we know how NFL teams are with quarterbacks that they quote-unquote like. They're going to pump them up and make that class seem like the best class ever.
Yeah, of course. You know, they'll go back on their word in a second once they see Jake Browning light it up or Ryan Finley from NC State or whomever it is. Good stuff from Emory Hunt, as always. Catch him on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. He's going to be with me at the night of the draft in a couple of weeks on Thursday, April 26th. He and I will be covering it with Corey Parson and Dave Martinez. Thanks for joining us, Emory. We'll talk to you soon. Kevin and I will be back to talk NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs next on FNTSY Radio.